Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
And I'll show you a particular scripture, a particular verse in this particular chapter that really helped me a lot, to grow in the things of God. Now let's read from verse 7. The scripture says, but we speak, do we have the scriptures? It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And if you have your Bible, I want you to highlight that word hidden. That word hidden is very significant. And that suggests that this is something that is not given to everybody. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, look at that scripture very carefully. This is just a diversion. Who are the princes that were being referred to? Who killed Jesus? Talk to me. The Pharisees, yeah? Are they part of the group? The Pharisees, who else? The Romans. The Romans killed him. Who else? Sadducees, who else? The nation of Israel, they were complicit. Who else? Satan. Huh? Satan arranged his death now. He needed the guy out. How many people now? Four. Five. God also killed him. They all killed him but for different reasons. I like that. But here, he said, none of the princes of this world. That word princes is now a significant introduction. When you talk about the princes of this world, what kind of princes are we talking about? Very quickly. You see, if you want to learn how to teach, you have to learn how to play with scriptures. If you just read in a rush, you will miss out on a lot of things. The princes of... Do we remember the prince that contended with Archangel Gabriel when he was sent to Daniel during his 21 days? That principality was referred to as the prince of Persia. Huh? He was a prince, but on earth there was a king. But you see, the prince in the supernatural realm is more powerful than a king in the physical realm. So that means even the death of Jesus, the princes of this world had a hand in it. Alright, so maybe someday we'll come back to this. And God was saying that if they knew what would have happened by their activity, by their scheming, they would not have touched Jesus. They would have left him to be living long life. Alright? He said in verse 9, he said, but as it is written, the eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. And I'm going to come back here and show you something very quickly. Please remind me if I forget. That's the 9th verse. He said, but God has revealed these things to us by what? By what? By the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit does what? All things. Yea, the deep things of God. So, this is also a very significant verse. When somebody says, oh, I want to know the Lord, I really have a desire to be close to God, we need to bring the person here. Give me the next verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? This is a very powerful statement. What this means is that anybody you meet in your office, anybody you run to on the street, and all any friend you think you've had for like 20 years, you've been very good friends. God says you don't know that man until you know his spirit. It is very dangerous to claim to know anybody. Huh? There's a case, okay, I don't know, maybe I don't know if I should be saying this, but there's somebody that is about to be imported to Lagos to come and see me. Imported. I don't know if I should say this, but it's say come. Let me just give you a... So the guy had an affair with a lady he met at a club 15 years ago. He saw the girl on the street. So then he went, somebody dragged him. He's a Christian. But somebody took him to the club. His friend. Just, it was his first time. He now saw that girl there. Again. And they had an affair there. And the moment they were done, the girl got up and said, and looked at him, walked to the door and laughed. Then she looked at him and said, "You will never get married." And she walked out. Now what has happened today? You will never... That for you to get married, it will be very hard. The guy is 40 plus. Not married. That thing happened in his 20s. So I will come and talk about that. Because the guy is going about carrying grace message up and down. Say once save, forever save. Meanwhile, won't it bow go a law? You know, whatever, if you understand what that means. So I will come back and talk about that, because some people don't know that spirits can hijack glory. Anytime somebody goes to Satan to say, "Help me, give me money," Satan doesn't manufacture money. He will go and collect it from somebody who has and give to you. So there are agents, marketers, sales managers appointed and employed by Satan to go on the road. So for those of you that like testing and testing, just know that these people are available. If you run just one, you only need one. What they take from you is more than HIV. They don't need to give HIV. The guy has gone to several places. Nobody can deliver him because of the power of a marine spirit. So I told them, let them go and bundle him. I will just ask him two questions. If I talk to you, will you argue? If he says yes, I'll tell him to walk out. Because he has been arguing for the last 20, from 25 to 40. How many years is that? 15 years. That incident, he dropped out of school. He couldn't graduate. He's not working. He's living in his parents' house. That's the power of one agent. So spirits, please put up that scripture. That spirits are very powerful. Every transaction is spiritual. That's why Jesus did not just die physically. There was a spiritual implication to his death. That's why today when you say, "Lord Jesus, I receive you," you can actually be forgiven. Is there any brother who is listening to me now? Is there any brother that heard anything I said in the last... Single brothers, did you hear anything I said in the last 10 minutes? Be careful. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." You know, just an aside anyway. When people have all these problems, they remember me. But when they want to share money, nobody really remembers me. But it's okay. It's the job. So, but if you got my change, I want to change now. Give me next verse. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." That means there's a spirit of the world. But the spirit which is of God, please look at that. What's the implication? You will have one of these. Are you with me? A lot of people who are Christians dancing Salomes on Instagram, this is their condition. They have the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world allows you add several things to merge. You can be in Christ and be in the world. It gives you that idea. You can serve Baal and serve God. Meanwhile, Elijah said, if Baal is God, serve him. And if Jehovah is God, serve him. But don't mix. So now the scripture is telling us that we have received the spirit. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might what? That we might what? We might know. The word "know" again, you need to underline that word. It's very significant. We are talking about how to practically know the Lord. That word "know" is very significant. The things which are freely given unto us. All right, what verse are we now? Now we have received, please, next verse, 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but what? Which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, this is the verse I wanted to show you. That's verse 13. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The word discerned is very critical. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who may know, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So let me rush, because this is a crash course. Let's jump to verse 9. The scripture says, how to practically know the Lord? The scripture says, eye has not seen, ear heard, neither has he entered to the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So there are some very critical points, price points here. The first one is that if God is trying to relate with you, you have to consider that he will talk to you either through the eyes, through the ears, or through your heart. Huh? When we say know the Lord, one of the ways the Lord will help us know him is by the things he reveals to us. Maybe about ourselves, or about our families, or about our future. Most times, God establishes relationship by trying to guide us. It's just like Abraham. Abraham did not know God. Abraham was a worshiper of Satan. I hope you know. When God called Abraham, he was not a worshiper of God. He was worshiping the gods that were worshiping the all of the Chaldeans. Those were areas where you have some of the very powerful ancient Anunnaki spirits. All those spirits. That's another subject for another day, but those are the ancient gods of the Sumerians. Those gods are very powerful. Those gods, they have the doctrine, the materials they gave to those people of those days, predates the Bible. Yes. Now, some of those texts, people, they are digging them out now. And those people are claiming that it was the Bible that copied, the Bible, Christians copied the text of the Sumerians, because the story of creation, many of the things that we find in the Bible are also contained in those books. But you see, those demons, they have, those gods are fallen angels. You see, they are fallen angels. So Abraham was not a worshiper of God. Abraham was a worshiper of devils. But when God called him, God called him by guiding him. He said, leave your father's land unto a land that I will show you. Now, you see, the word I will signifies progression, which means when God wants to really build something with you, he will bring you on a journey. God will not just give you all the information at once. God may tell you, I'm going to make you an eternal excellency. I will make you a name in the United States. You will show forth my glory. After all of that, and you dance and sing, then they will not start the real training. You go through the wilderness, you go through pain, you go through rejection, you go through lack, you go through poverty, you go through abandonment, loss of lives, of loved ones. When you now get to the final bus stop, then I say, welcome, oh Joseph, you are the king now. Come and share your testimony. He's tired. Because that's why people don't like God. Because God will not use you until he has tried you and tested you. All right, so I was trying to say here that you have the eyes, your spiritual eyes, which speaks of vision. Huh? Put that scripture back up. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. All right, now do you notice that the eye there is in singular? Do you also notice that the ear there is in singular? It did not say your eyes have not seen. Do you know why that is very significant? When our Lord Jesus was teaching us, he said to us, if your eye be single, it shall be full of what? Of light. If your eye be single, signifying that a double-minded man will always be unstable in all his ways. And most times when people say, oh, I'm praying for divine direction and God is not speaking, most of the times they are double-minded. You may be praying and asking God, oh Lord, I want to know you. Lord, reveal yourself to me. But what you are really asking is that, God, I want to blow. Why is it that two people will go into the place of prayer and one will come out with clear instruction and one will continue to suffer? Why is it that somebody can be working with God for 15 years, 20 years and he's not making a lot of progress? It's not that God is wicked. You need to check your heart. If one of the things that in that revelation is if your eye is not single, you are looking here and you are looking there. You are looking and you are looking there. The word singleness means focus. It signifies focus. So the scripture here is speaking about your eye and your ear being what? Being focused, being singular. So that when God speaks, the revelation is directional. But if you are focused on, oh, Charles will help me, and you're also hoping that Femi will help me, but meanwhile, your help is supposed to come from Taiwo. In the midst of watching to see who the help will come from, you will miss Taiwo. So the key to revelation here is what? Singularity. Please say singularity. Your eye must be single. Don't seek him if you have options. That's why you find that a lot of people, everybody's, you know, shouting the name of Jesus, but we're all getting different results. Because for some of us, that's the only option we have. That's just the only option. We don't have any big man anywhere that is going to help us. So when we pray, we wait there until he tells us, get up. Put that scripture back up. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. So you see that the third layer of revelation, there's the eye, there's the ear, and there's what? There's the heart. So every time the Lord speaks to you, you may receive the revelation through visions. You may receive it through the hearing of the ear. The Lord is speaking to your ears. And you may receive it in the heart. And this is the one that most Christians experience, where the Lord puts impressions in your heart. And let me tell you, if you are someone that is prophetically gifted and you are smart, you can use that gift to develop your relationship with God. All right? You can use that gift to develop your relationship with God. God can use anything to talk to you. You can just go to the fridge and you can see a sharp knife just hanging there. And the Lord will say, when last were you sharp like that? He will just put an impression in your mind. And that's God talking to you. That means most of the conversations that the Lord will have with us will happen in our heart. In fact, the one that has to do with audible voice, you may not even have it till you die. Some people are lucky, they may hear it once. Then we have visions. Alright? Now, put up that scripture again. Let's consider. Those are three layers through which God can, you know, bring information to us. Look at the later part of that scripture. He said, neither has it entered into the heart of man. How many things? The things. That means the word things there is what? Plural. So, I need to be singular in my vision. I need to be singular in the way I hear. I cannot be seeking to know the counsel of the Lord, and I'm still going to Babylon for help. Alright? He says, so, my ear must be singular, my vision must be singular, my heart must be prepared, you see, to receive the things of God. And he said, the things which God has prepared. Who did the preparation? So, it means that this preparation, God doesn't do it until he has seen certain things in you. Please pay attention. There are certain things, if you pray and fast, God will not answer you until he sees some things. He said, the Lord has prepared these things for those who what? Who love him. Which means, for us to practically know the Lord, we must answer the question of our allegiance. Who you truly love. This is the reason why many cannot hear God. Even if you call them out on Sunday and give them a prophecy, they will not walk in it. Because their heart, they are users. They are users. They use God. They are not really there because they have a revelation of who God is. As far as they are concerned, God is here to solve their problems. But God is not a problem solver. You see? He's not a problem solver. He's just one of the things he does. God is God. Everything he does for you, every problem he solves for you, is as a result of his love for you. It's not because that's his work. You are not, it's not an ATM machine you can say, by the works of my hand, command me, command me. Those are the prayer points we used to pray in those days. Maybe you used to remember those days. Say, they will say, the scripture, doing prayer meeting, hold the hand, by the word, command me, command me. Father, we command, in the name of Jesus, let your power. You know, thinking back, we are lucky that God did not strike us. And you see, we will be sweaty. You see very serious brothers. Pray, come on. You see, as some of them, my Igbo brethren, you see their veins coming out, praying. So even you, the innocent brother, you have to fake it. You start, because it must not be said that you are the only one. And you mean, as we are here, you are not feeling anything. So you have to start, shaking. So they will not say, it's like, this brother is not supposed to be part of us. Because you are the only one that doesn't shake. You are not fervent. So the question of love is a question, something that we must address. And speaking about love, the book of Colossians tells us, let me address the issue of love. The issue of love here is the subject of affection. What is affection? Please give me a word. What is affection? Something you feel tender towards, right? Some of you don't know what affection is. Some of you have some brothers have never been affectionate to anything on earth. Their heart is like the heart of stone. Hallelujah. Let me ask my wife if she thinks I'm affectionate. Tomorrow is the day. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know what affection is? Affection. Let me give you an example of affection. Give me that scripture. Is it Colossians 3 that talks about set your affections? Please look for that scripture on things above. Look at affection. Please, let Pastor David and John get me that scripture. Look at affection. I'm here with Charles and we're having an argument. And I'm so hungry and I'm screaming and I've lost my temper. And we are single brothers. He knows that I'm eyeing Bukola. We are all single. Bukola now walks in. What are you guys doing? I'll just smile. I say it's not his football we are talking about. you know, I don't want her to, the sight of her alone. Say, come and sit down, come and sit down. Oh, yeah, Charles, are you in this place? We will continue the fight later. What? For now, I don't want. No. You know, you see somebody and your heart just melts. Some of you were like that until you got married for 7 years. You now realize that now you have seen shaggy. So marriage has done you shaggy. So Femi, don't learn from bad people. If I tell the kind of people I can't see every day, you'll be shocked. So affection is something like there's a sense of tenderness. Tenderness. You want to. Do you have the scripture? Just put it up. Go to one. We'll start from one. Alright? So you talk about the Lord is preparing things for them that love him. And for us to talk about love, we have to talk about affection. Because God is a spirit. You can't see him. So the first primary emotion that God understands is faith. Please write that down. The first, God's primary emotion is what? Is faith. Which means God knows that you cannot just love him because you can't see him. The only language God will really understand, 0 and 1 binary language, is faith. And what is faith? Faith is you saying, Lord, I believe you and I risk my life, I put it on you. You don't have any evidence to prove that if I believe something positive, but you have heard the word of God, faith has been created, and you decide, Lord, I will trust you. You will not feel anything. Now, look at this scripture. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The word seek is very significant. where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set. You see the word set? Significant. The word set is like trying to tune the channel, the station on the radio. If you are not on the right, if you are close to, you'll be hearing some, what do you call that? Is it wave imbalance? Some itches, glitches. The moment you put it on the right frequency, you will get a very clear audio. So set. Who is going to do the setting? So this is the, when God says, I will, in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, there are things I have prepared for them that love me. Do you notice God did not say for those I love? He said for those that love me, which means to walk in constant revelation, that you just close your eyes like this and you'll be seeing things, that you are never behind on anything that is happening around you, or most of the things that are around you. The issue of love must be addressed, because to receive revelation, you are tapping into the central bank of heaven to get information that is ahead of time. Please, are you with me now? So God says we must do what? Set our affection. So I will wake up every day. How do you set your affection? Do you know that there are things you love because initially you didn't like those things, but as you started participating in them, sometimes maybe when we go out, you say, I should try. This thing is nice. I say, I don't want. The moment I see it, my taste buds are attached to my sight. So if I see something, for instance now, there's nothing you can do. If you bring parfait, I will not touch it. Even if you beg me, put 1 million with it, I will not touch it. Huh? There was a time where, I don't know where we went to, she was like, no. Because she tastes my food. Everything I eat, she tastes it before I touch it. Huh? You know, I told her I was appreciating her. So if you go out, I will not touch it until she has tasted it. Yes. Because my taste buds are very sensitive. So if she now says, okay, try it, it's okay. It's okay. It's based on 14 years of knowledge. If you tell me, Taiwo, that pastor is okay, I will not believe you. Somebody here now. That's 14 years talking. So when God says, I know Abraham, that he will command his children. Abraham did not have a child. The relationship has grown. Eh? Because the basis of Abraham's relationship with God was faith. And how will God measure faith? When he sees all the decisions you are making, your daily decisions, based on your knowledge of his word, you are not feeling anything. You just, this is what God says. Because of that, this is my position. God begins to mark it. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as what? As righteousness. So what we need to do is to go back and set our affections. Please put that scripture up. It says, set your affections. Because your affections are default destructive. They are in default mode destructive. Your affections were one of the things that fell when Adam fell. Before Adam sinned, his affection was towards the Lord. Do you know that Adam was serving God? He didn't even know he needed a wife. It was God that brought up the idea of the wife. That's why Adam could accuse God. It was the woman you gave him. Do you notice God did not flog him? Because it was God that brought the woman. How many people can challenge God like that today and they'll still be alive by tomorrow morning? Because half of your life was made up of even wrong decisions. They'll just bring your file, send you to jail. Set your affections on things that are what? So you see, there are things that are above, spiritual things. Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are what? Of good report, what are we to do? So how do you set your affections? By thinking. You prioritize certain thoughts to the point that they now begin to build over time as my default settings. There are certain things you do on your laptop or on a particular software. They'll say, okay, save it as your default setting. Or they'll tell you, name it, give it another name so that you will know that it's your default settings now. It's your own set. You say, Benga's template, Kemi's template, Kemi 2024. Anytime you click your drop down, you will just see that, you know that is yours. All right, but the software itself has its own setting. And what is the setting of the mind? It's waywardness. That's the default setting. You have to, if you expect that because you prayed in tongues, that the setting has changed, it's a lie. You will set it. You see, knowing the Lord is a very practical thing. Most of the people who don't know him, they try to make it look very spooky. All right? They try to make it look spooky. And with due respect. No, I don't want problem. Some people, they just like problem. Me, I don't like problem. You don't need to validate your relationship with God by telling us of supernatural experiences. The supernatural experiences we have should edify the people. It shouldn't make us look as if we are above the people. So if I come to the church and say, okay, last night an angel of the Lord brought me to this church around 1 a.m. Three angels, one braided his hair, one. You that you know you've not seen angels, sure you won't respect me. Huh? You want to argue, Abby? Eh? You that you can't even see fly. And really, there are angels of different kinds. I've seen an angel before that was on low cut. Low cut. Gold hair, but low cut. Trimmed, like the way we trim our hair in Nigeria here. I woke up, my mattress was on the floor. The angel did not even say, you people are suffering here. I woke up, he was sitting on the bed with waiting for I said, you said, like, well, you lie suffering. You lie suffering. You know, season I suffer this. I don't put mattress for fly. I woke up, I saw the thing, the guy, low cut. So don't be surprised when you get to heaven and see angels that breed. I'm just telling you, because your religious mind. I will bless you. So these are some of the key indices of how to practically know the Lord. Now, let us... Yeah, there are so many things in this chapter. And... Okay. Now, look at... So, we've established the subject of love, right? And I've told you that if you do not grow in your love walk with God, you will not experience consistent revelations. And there are things that God prepares for you that he will never give you. Because they won't be safe in your hands. So what do I need to do as a Christian? To do what? To grow in my what? In my love walk with God. Please let me preach to your neighbor. You need to grow in your love walk with God. Please let me preach to your neighbor. You need to grow in your love walk with God. And the first indices of that growth is what? Is faith. Faith in God. Faith in his word. Now let's jump to verse 10. Let me show you how the Holy Spirit... And please get... is it Proverbs 20:27? Get it ready. But jump to the next verse, the 10th verse. Let me show you something here. Now, what I'm sharing with you this evening, this is how I hear God. What I'm sharing with you today is how I hear God. Now, you remember the prophecy I gave on Sunday about somebody that has something to do with animal sacrifice and... Now, some of you are asking, hey, Lord, just help this pastor. Which one is animal sacrifice on Sunday morning? Some of you are pitying me. The two people concerned have come to see me. How do you hear such things? How do you... Please, is anybody concerned? Like, will you like to be able to hear those kind of details? Will it be a good thing? Like before the girl tells you her name is Eunice, say no. Your name is Ogene Rukewe. And believe me, there are people who operate in it. There are people that don't need to sleep for God to talk to them. Sometimes the battle is already at your door. If you sleep, you are dead. It has nothing to do with being a pastor. You can be a banker. You can be a teacher. People will see you. They will think you're a prophet. You are just a child of God that loves God. Give me that 10th verse, quickly. He said, look, this is the verse after the scripture says God has prepared this for those that love him, all right? So now, how do we prove our love? We need to set our affections. What does it mean to set your affections? It means that I will love the things that the scripture says are, what? Of good report. I will love the things which the scripture says are what? Are pure. Huh? Hello? So it's my decision. So even when you tell somebody, oh, I don't want to fornicate, oh, I'm a child of God, I love righteousness. Even though you know you don't love righteousness, you want to do it, but you will be saying it. And God will be giving you grace. Huh? Do you know that the source of the anointing, do you know the source? Do you know why Jesus was so anointed? Yes, he had the Holy Spirit. But do you know why Jesus was so anointed the way he was? Should I tell you? It's not a mystery. Should I tell you? The Bible said, because thou loved righteousness and hate what? The scripture did not say, because thou avoids iniquity. You know, most of us, we are not sinning. It's because we are avoiding it. It's not because we, in our mind, we are there. Then we are following righteousness. It's not because we have a revelation of the love of righteousness. It's because the pastor told us we are righteous by faith, and we shook his hand and said, thank you. We are righteous by faith, Abby. So I'm the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm not going to hell again. So when he told you that one, you are happy. But he said there is another dimension to righteousness, which is the love of righteousness, which means you have had an encounter. You have seen the value of righteousness. You look at it and say, wow, is this what God prepared for me? Ah, this is the kind of life I want. It's not, you are not trying to avoid sin at that level. At that level, you even feel bad when you sin because of the revelation that you already have on righteousness. It's not, oh, there's a righteousness that comes by faith. But now, this is a righteousness by revelation, by decision. You love righteousness because you love righteousness. You love righteousness. Jesus, he said, how beautiful are your tents? How beautiful. Jesus, anything that has to do with righteousness. The Bible says, Jesus saw one man. The man said, oh, I've kept the law since I was born. The Bible says, and Jesus loved him. He said, oh, you just have one more thing. Go and sell all that you have. The problem now started in the church. Jesus loves righteousness. So this one is the way you enter into an endless dimension of the power of God. Give me that scripture. He said the Holy Spirit searches. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2. But God has revealed these things to us. What things are we talking about in verse 9? The scripture says the things that God has what? Has prepared for those that what? For those that what? So, if God prepares something, that thing is still in the spiritual realm. So, for those things to become mine, there must be revelation. That means on this side of eternity, you are not entitled to anything until you have a revelation of it. Please, just stay on that scripture. Please, did you hear what I said? If you don't receive a revelation that you have a child, and you're having a challenge in that area, until you have a revelation that Jesus has done this thing, you will pray and pray and pray. You will struggle. Meanwhile, a prostitute will go out and get pregnant. Revelation is the key to dimensions in the spirit. Put up that scripture. Now, please pay attention and document this process carefully. God has prepared certain things to me, for me, and these things are many. It's not just one thing. They are things. He prepared them because I what? I love him. Now, how will he reveal these things to me? Through the eye, through the ear, or through the heart? Alright? God may choose to reveal himself to me through visions, through dreams. No, visions, through the eye. Or through the ear, by the spoken word, the revelation of the word of God. Or through the audible voice. Or is the word may enter into my heart like an impression that is so strong. Okay? And God is saying, these things I will prepare for you because you love me. Because you love me, not the other way around. I already love you. So, because now I have seen that you love me and you cannot withhold your only son from me. So, which means that in the case of Abraham, you cannot claim to love God until you have been tested with your most prized event or artifact. Who gave Isaac to Abraham? God. Who asked for it? Doesn't that sound vindictive or wicked? After delaying him for over 25 years, what was God planning to achieve with that wickedness? Huh? God wanted to see if his... What did God say to Abraham on that mountain? He said, now that I have seen that you love me and that you will not withhold anything from me. Did you see the blessing God gave him there? He said, from today, say whosoever blesses you is blessed. So that means if there is somebody in your village that has been cursed, they've taken him to Amadioa, they've taken him to Sokpono, they've taken him to the redemption camp, anywhere they've prayed, just find Abraham. Abraham has become an earthly custodian of blessings. If you just see Abraham, say, Abraham, you are blessed in the city. Abraham, you are blessed when you go out. Abraham, you are blessed when you come in. Abraham, your children are blessed. You begin to pray for Abraham. It's the DNA of Abraham will reverse your course. And there are people like that on earth. There are people like that. If you stay close to them, you just notice your life will start moving forward. The aroma, the atmosphere, they have become covenanted temples. If you have anything in your life or in your house that you will have to think twice to give to God, you have not passed that test. God may not ask for it now, but come to that place now and set your affection concerning that thing. Huh? Come to the place today where even though God has not asked, you do what? You set your what? Concerning that, if you don't say, give me your car, you are already emotionally detached. Please, are we together? I'm talking about endless flow of revelation. God is not a killjoy. God is not somebody, he wants you to have the good things of earth, but he doesn't want you to be attached to them. Give me that scripture again. He said, God has prepared, has revealed these things to us by his spirit. So how do we know the things that God has, those things that he has prepared? You know, in the ninth verse, he said he has prepared these things. But these things, we don't know what they are. Huh? And God says, these things, he will now reveal to us by what? So the what, how does revelation come? Now, go to that scripture that says, in that same chapter, that talks about comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse what? Just below this 10th verse, quickly. I need the amplified version of that. Verse 13. Give me verse 13 amplified. I want to show you something. Now, the 13th verse of Amplified says, of King James said, which things we also speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Now, look at Amplified. Look at Amplified very carefully. We also speak of these things, not in words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Look at this. Combining and what? Interpreting what? Do you see spiritual thought? And what? There's another amplifier. Is this classic or? Give me the other amplified. Please put those, if you can write down these keywords, spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. That is what King James called comparing spiritual with spiritual. Look at classic. And we are setting this truth forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and what? And interpreting. That means many times when God is speaking, he will give you beats here. He will give you beats here. He will give you beats here. While you are talking to her, God will just inspire. She will say something. You know, it's like God is talking to me. You will add it. You start combining. You go to the lab. Shapatura seta. You start mixing. Look at that. It said combining and interpreting spiritual truth with what? With what? What is spiritual language? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Please, are you still here? So when I am beginning to receive some levels of revelation, they are coming in bits. They are coming in bits. How do I mix them? How do I combine them? I begin to pray in tongues. That's what you call comparing spiritual with spiritual. Amplify says comparing spiritual thoughts. That means why you are praying or you are in a bus and God just put that thought here. You say, ah, it's my mind. It's not your mind. That's why you are not moving forward. People have, your mind was taught, did not originally have a default setting of giving you Java error script. It was when we fell that it started giving us all these strange error 404 and all those things we carry up and down that we call my mind. This is me. This is the way I behave. It is error message. The original man did not have those settings. The mind of Adam before he fell was a default setting to God. Which means if there was anything God revealed to him, oh, go and name all these animals. Adam will come, he will look at this one, look at this one, look at this one. A name will be ministered to his mind, to his spirit. Then his mind will capture that thing and frame it. Which means anything God says to you in your spirit, your mind must be spiritually smart enough to capture it. Have you ever sensed that the Lord was trying to say something to you, but the words were not forming in your mind? Then as you lingered, it started coming. Who knows what I'm talking about? You just knew the Lord. Let me tell you something. Many times when I oh God. Many times when I prophesy and I say, oh, my brother, the only thing I know as at that moment is that the Lord has spoken to me concerning him. But I don't even, by the time I ask him to come forward, that is the 10 seconds I need to get the interpretation of what I have perceived in my spirit. So I know in my spirit that the Lord has already spoken to me about him. But my mind is unfruitful. I don't have the intelligence for what, I know I have the message, but I don't have the interpretation. So I combine the revelation with what I have. How do I do it? By praying in tongues. Have you seen pastors preach? And while they are prophesying, they will stop. They will start praying in tongues. Have you seen it before? That's what they are doing. 1 Corinthians 2. Because somewhere in between, your mind can be disconnected. You can be cut off temporarily. You bridge that gap by praying in tongues. It's not religion. Go and practice it. I'm telling you how to know the Lord. I'm telling you how to know your environment. I'm telling you that just by learning to look at things and look at people with your inner mind, in your inner eyes, you will see things, you will know things. We know no man after the flesh. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now you find that these things are actually doable. I started practicing this thing ever before I thought I would be a pastor. Which means it's doable. So this particular scripture has been working in my life for over 20 years. This particular one. Over 20 years. Over 20 years. Do you know that? This is our spiritual. Do you know that all I have to do to see, people will start making noise now, they'll start shouting. Do you know that all I have to do, if I just feel that I'm far away from the Lord, is to just start focusing on him in my heart? I may be in an environment where I can't sing, where I can't pray out loud. I may just be in that meeting and I'll just begin to meditate on his presence. On his presence. And I notice that the sharpness of my prophetic gift is tied to my knowledge and awareness of his presence. Is one and two. If you are able to operate your gifting successfully for years without a sense of the presence of the Lord, you will enter into witchcraft. Because for Jesus didn't panic. He didn't panic when he was being nailed to the cross. He didn't panic when he was being led by the Romans. But he panicked the moment he said, my father, why is that for? The moment he could no longer sense the presence of the Lord, Jesus became afraid. But for many of us, we have lived successfully without the presence of God. And the only time we even sense his presence is when we come to church. That's an abnormality. You can train your mind to have a default setting of focusing on him. That is the first function of your mind. There's a way you do it. You do it so much. If you enter into a place and there's a strange spirit there, you will capture it immediately. Why? Because the environment of the presence of God is already in your heart. It's in your mind. It's everywhere. If there's, how do you think demons will see Jesus and they'll start crying out? The apostles also received the same anointing, but the demons didn't cry out when they saw the apostles. But when Peter became the head of the church, his shadow sent demons out. Do you know what that means? Peter did not pray. He comes for a crusade. Time is up. Oh, we need to go now. There's no time. Arrange everybody. Oh, yeah. They will arrange everybody. Don't look at them. Where's my shadow? As he walks past them, demons are being... How can a man shout? You know, if it wasn't in the Bible, you would think it's like witchcraft. Peter, or you don't know who Peter is. Was it Jesus that told Peter he could do that? Jesus didn't talk about it. The only thing Jesus told them is that greater works. Greater works does not mean you will do more than Jesus. It means you will do these things, other type of miracles I have not done before, you will do it. Not that there will be a greater quality to what I have done. The matter of knowing the Lord or being close to the Lord, if only we just allow our spirit begin to take over our mind, and we begin to feed our minds deliberately. Protect your mind from every kind of information and place your mind on default mode, where it says set your affections on the things that are what? This is the one that is hard for many people today. Because when you set your affection on the things that are above, you are not thinking of how you are going to blow. You are thinking of the kingdom of God. You are thinking of his righteousness. You are thinking you are thinking of things that when you tell people, no, I've just loved the Lord. We love the Lord. We don't love God. Anytime we meet, it's always, you know, let's just pray. Let's just study the word. You say, God is speaking to me. Do you know that? Do you know that there are pastors who are only pastors because that's their job? They don't really believe. They don't believe. They are not Christians, but they are pastors. Do you know that this issue of knowing the Lord is so serious that God said he will send every miracle worker to her that doesn't know him? Everyone who performs miracle. Oh, there's somebody here. You have one thing on your head. There's a mark at your body. Somebody gave you animal sacrifice. All those things. Jesus has promised to send all of them to her. He said, go away from me, you cursed of my father. He said, for what? I don't know you. I don't know you. When the men said, we casted our miracles, we worked miracles, we casted our devils, were they lying? Was it the power of Jesus they used? Will they stand before God and be saying what is not true? Which means the miracles were genuine. But the scripture says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 27, very quickly, let me round up here. Jeremiah chapter 9, I believe it's Jeremiah 9:27. Very quickly. Quickly, let's round up. Are you blessed tonight? Anybody can know the Lord. Anybody can know the Lord. If you just put your heart to it and set your affection. Because the battle is about affection. Everything on this earth is about who loves who. Do you have it? Jeremiah 9:27. Jeremiah has traveled though. He has gone for, what's that thing we are celebrating? They even gave people a shard day. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man. You see, this wise man, these are the Daniels, so these are the Josephs, these are the Solomons. And yet God said, when you stand before me, don't bring it here. I gave you that one, so put it aside. He said, let not the mighty man, Elijah, the man of fire, Boanerges, sons of thunder, men that can pray, stand in the gap for nations, intercessors, people that can keep the midnight watch, prayer men, 10 hours and above. God said, do not glory in your might. There's even something for rich people here. All of you that want to blow. He said, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Next verse. He said, let him that glory. So God says you can glory. But there are certain things that mean so much to us here. On your own side of eternity, some things mean, it's very important, but they don't mean anything to us. God says, let him that glories, glory in only one thing. That he what? He understands. Wait there. He said that he understands me. If I say sit down,
His mind is already working. What's Baba? Why is Baba saying this? He's processing. He's not a robot. He can tell you why he decided to follow God like this. It's not just something. I was just going to say, and I heard the voice of God. My son, I have called you. Arise, go and marry Tinuke. No. No, I will not marry Tinuke. I want to understand. Because when you enter that house, it's not voice you're using to marry your wife. You will pay house rent. I went somewhere last night. They said their Nepal, their PSN bill is 250,000 in band A. At Lekki. Eh? So that's your own salary. Your own salary is what somebody uses to pay PSN or energy bill. That one's not even PSN again, it's energy. Eh? Meanwhile, I'm in my area, we are carrying placard. Say we want to go and protest on top of your 15,000. Eh? I just sit down, JJ. Let those with 250 be talking. Give me that scripture. He said, Let him glory that he understands and knows me. What is he talking about? You know my heart. When you look at a situation, you can almost tell, this is why God said this thing. When I was praying, the Lord told me that I should not go to that place again. You are hearing beyond what he's saying. You can tell why God is saying, don't go again. Because you've seen some seeds of rebellion in his heart. But he is not aware. The moment he said, God said we shouldn't go again, you heard it. But you also know the reason. A spiritual man is a man who not only hears it, but knows the reason. Give me that scripture. He said that he understands and knoweth me, that I am what? That I am what? What is the first thing God wants us to know about him? That he is the Lord. If you know him as the Lord, you can't give him a wiper. You are too small. In the name of all these praise co and all these things we do today, Fuji praise co that we do in church, the angels, the seraphims, they can't try it. May we know the Lord. One of the signs you will know that you have started making progress is that you will have the fear of the Lord. Go and write that down. One of the signs you will find out that you have started knowing the Lord is what? You will be beginning to develop what? The fear of the Lord. Give me that scripture. He said, let him know. He said that he will know that I am the Lord. That is, I am the owner. I am the master. This is the first thing I want you to know about me. This I am the Lord is the reason why many of our fathers, when you see they don't pray, they go on their knees. Some of you, your parents. Oh, am I talking now? Your parents, they don't know the Bible verse that you know. You know, you are Greek and Hebrew. But you will see them when they say, let's pray. You see your mom, she will remove her scarf. Eh? Are we talking now? You say, that's not what the Bible's talking about. Okay, stay there. Stay there. That's why you are not going into dimensions. Give me that scripture. He said that I am the Lord. Which exercises what? So goodness. The word exercise is critical. Huh? Exercise. That means God's first disposition towards you is what? His desire to show you his love. Huh? Are we together? God's first desire towards me is to what? So out of his lordship, the first response of his lordship towards me is to tell me that he loves me. That you are not judged. I want to help you. I am the one who loves you. People may look down on you and say, oh, you are condemned. You are a condemned case. God will say, you, I still have something for you. That's why nobody can love you like Jesus. Because God didn't just say, I love you. He put his son on the line. This is the first thing you must know about him. That he's a God of loving kindness. He's also a God of judgment. The word judgment there means that he will not patronize error or iniquity. The word judgment also means that God is a just God. When he needs to be favorable to you, he will not ask for anybody's permission. If God asks her to bless you and she refuses to oblige, God will move the earth so that you will be blessed. He said, I will give Sheba for you. I will give 1,000 for you on the left side. 10,000, and God will not move. But you must be blessed. That's what it means for him to be the God of judgment. Judgment is not always something that has to do with something bad. It's like the judge in the court saying, you are acquitted, you are not guilty. Do you understand? It's not people hear judgment, they only think of bad things. No, judgment is they have cheated you in this life. I want to reward you. That's judgment. And there are some of you like that. You knew where your family was until something happened and somebody took your father's things, you know, and something happened and you became poor. And God said, I want to do something for you. Then things begin to change. So you see, he's a God of what? Loving kindness. What is he again? He's a God of judgment. And then finally, is what? He's a God of righteousness. The Bible says, with the Lord of the earth not do right. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of righteousness. The word righteousness is what? Right standing and right posture. So everything that God has to touch must be towards what is right. Let's do it like this. Is that what is right? Let's give 100 naira. God says, is that what she deserves? And let's just set me, no, is that what she deserves? Give her a rightful due. Give her, it's her turn to be promoted. Give her a promotion letter. Don't tell her sorry. Some people are the ones that will remove your name from the list. They will not be telling you sorry on Monday morning. Give me that scripture. It says, righteousness where? In the earth. This is where God wants to see this activity. Look at your screen. He said, in the earth. For in these things, I what? Oh my God. This is an open secret. God says when he sees us exercise, practice loving kindness towards each other, he says he delights in it. God says when he sees us stand for that which is just and that which is righteous, he says those are the things he delights in. So when a man says he loves God and he knows God, what is God looking for? Loving kindness, judgment, and what? Hallelujah. That's how to know the Lord. So, this is part two. So, if the Lord gives me grace, I have compressed a lot of things because I didn't also explain to you how to receive the revelations of the heart. Huh? And how to receive revelation. You know, well. Let me tell you something. This is just an aside. It's a cheat code. Anyway, it's a cheat code. For those of you that are saying, I don't know if I can give you this one, but let me just throw it because some people will start shouting. I say, you have started again. I stumbled on something, like I just stumbled on it. I didn't know, I just stumbled on it. I realized that when I was praying, sometime last year or 2 years ago, I was praying and I got so engrossed in my prayer and I lost. You know, there's a way you are praying and you know that, okay, I'm in my room or I'm in the parlor, or I'm on the street. But the way I was praying, I actually lost a sense of where I was. You know, I wasn't screaming, but I was praying fervently. You know, I don't know if it's like saying you are praying, then you just stop praying. It's like you are sleeping, but you are not sleeping. Please understand what I'm saying. In your mind, you are praying. You think you are still praying, all right? So, but I was praying and I lost sense of what I was doing. By the time I came back to myself, I realized I had been seeing a vision. And then it happened again. And then I saw the principle there. And I noticed that every time I prayed to the point where I lost a sense of where I was, I switched to the other side. I'm talking about eye has not seen. Alright? Those are cheat codes. That's why you notice that I always tell you guys that when you pray, don't chat. That's the background. Because most times when you are chatting and you are playing or greeting people, you will not be able to enter that realm where your spirit is free to see things. Please, are you with me now? I don't know if this is helping anybody. Because some of you, where the vision is on this level. You are praying from here. You need to pray, touch that level. Then you can see the frequency of what God is. It's not that God is not speaking, but your frequency is low. Maybe another day I will come and I will talk to us about how to see the visions of the heart and how to play around with them. But everything you see from Colossians chapter 3, where it says set your affections. Once the affections are set, it will be easy for you to see the visions of the heart. Please pay attention to what I said. Once the affections of your heart are set, it will be easy for you to see the visions of the heart, because your emotions will not be able to interfere so much again. Alright? We were here and we're having a service of high praises, and I gave that particular prophetic word about somebody with that had some kind of animal sacrifice done over them, you know, some years ago. But I didn't ask the person to come out, right? I didn't ask the person to come out. But I didn't need to confirm to know the prophecy was true. But now, can I shock you? It was not a vision I saw. And I didn't hear it. Because in the realm of the spirit, voices are 2G, 3G. But if you need to be hearing fast, you need to move to 6G. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 called spiritual thoughts. How did Amplify put it? It says spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. You see that spiritual thought? When you pray, you purify your thoughts to the point that if I just close, I can just decide to stop thinking about anything and I'll just be looking at her. And if I just focus on her, the information will start coming. It takes a level of discipline. That is why we tell people to learn patience. So you have to set your affection. If, for instance, she's somebody I like so much, how can I hear God for her? I'm already biased. So I must set my heart to the point that God can tell her this and it will be true. Which means for me to hear God for you, I must first of all be neutral. I cannot put my love for you before the word of the Lord. If not, I will hear wrongly. And it's not everybody. There are people in this place that I cannot really hear God for specifically because of how close they are to me. For me to hear God, I will have to separate myself from them. That's why I always tell you people, it's good for you to be close to your pastor, but don't be too close. Because once the closeness is too much, it can become a problem for him. Because the Lord may be telling him to warn you, but he won't hear it because two of you are friends. How can you be telling your friend that God said I should warn you? It takes a level of neutrality to be able to hear strange things. Strange things. But when you begin to touch that level, God has started with you. I want you to ask God for this grace. The grace for details. The ability to come into the level of details. To know things not at the peripheral level, but to know them in details and in depth. I want you to pray. There are some things that are happening in your life and you need God to give you details. Please ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I ask for the grace for details. The ability to know you in depth. The grace to know the word of the Lord, to know the word of the Lord in depth and in details. I want you to pray right now. I want you to pray. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. You can receive it if you ask in faith. You need it, my brother. You need it, my sister. How do you know who is going to lie to you? How do you know who is deceiving you? Ask the Lord for the grace for details. There is an anointing for that. The anointing to see everything clearly. The anointing to know everything clearly. Ask the Lord this evening. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, the Lord hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you, today is a day of secrets. That prayer point I gave you is among the top 5 prayers I pray for myself the most. So, today I've told you some things. If you listen to today's message very well, some of the things I'm telling you, that I've told you things that are very personal, that you can also lay hold on. This prayer point I gave to you, when I pray it, it's not a 1-minute prayer. Because I know that by virtue of my calling, I am going to tell people the word of the Lord. If I tell them the wrong thing, I can destroy them. Or you don't know. If I'm like a surgeon, if I hold the knife and I don't hold it properly, I can kill the person in the theater. That's why it's not easy. You cannot be a prophet in the flesh. Sometimes you just sit down. And that's why you notice in this church, I always emphasize on worship. Because that is the atmosphere that gift works with. Go and find your own atmosphere. Go and pray this prayer point too. Go and add this prayer point. Some of you don't have a list of specific prayer points you pray. Me, I know that my gift can save people, but I know if I operate in the flesh, it will destroy them. So I pray. And when I pray this prayer, I don't pray it like I'm a pro. I pray it like I'm just 30. Lord, give me the grace for details. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you are there. And you pray it regularly. Pray it regularly. You will not know the effect until one day something is there. You'll say, no. The Lord will be, it's as if the Lord will just open the chambers of revelation in your spirit. You'll be saying, no, this is not the truth. This person is lying. No. Who is Funke? They'll be shocked. You yourself, you are shocked. The thing just came out. But you have prayed. You've opened that chamber. Once you pray yourself to that level, you will see the difference. Let's give an offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor David, please.